Now, there are a lot of ways that scientists or anyone else can find out about animal life in the wilderness. You can look around with your own eyes, set up trail cameras, but the best method may be listening. That's the sound of a rainforest recorded by a group of scientists in an effort to gauge the health of ecosystems. Our next guest has been using the sounds of rainforests in Gabon, Borneo, and elsewhere to measure the biodiversity of a given area and see how human activity, like farming and logging, can affect it. Zuzana Budovalova is an assistant professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and the director of the Sound Forest Lab. Zuzana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for people who haven't experienced the sound of a tropical forest, can you give us a sense of what it's like to be in the middle of that orchestra, I think you call it at one point?
Yeah, the best way to imagine it is to just close your eyes and imagine the loudest possible sound you could you could hear. It's mostly insects most times of the day. And then if you're lucky and you are in the rainforest early in the morning or just as the sun sets, you start hearing other things too, like gibbons, different other types of primates, lots of birds. It's basically a cacophony of sounds.
Now, it sounds amazing, but also it sounds scientifically useful because a lot of these animals in a forest don't want to be seen, and that makes it hard to count them. Can you talk about how sound can help us?
That's right. Especially in the rainforest, it's a little bit dark all times during the whole day because the canopy is just so thick. And a lot of the animals are small. They have other reasons to hide. They're hiding from predators. They don't really want to be hunted down by something. And that's why they rely on sounds to communicate. And they could be communicating about food, about danger. If a predator is approaching, they could be attracting their boyfriends or girlfriends. And we, as scientists, we can use that, these sounds that animals are making, to really start understanding if the animals are there, first of all, and to start learning about the forest as a whole, how healthy it is, how many different species there are. Are the species the ones that are supposed to be there, or are these some kind of new species that are coming in from other types of habitats?
Now, walk us through how you set this up. Say you're in Borneo. How do we get all the bioacoustics of these animals through the day?
The best way I find in a new place when I'm starting to record is to really record for full 24 hours, the whole day. Just because we don't know, is this particular little bird going to be singing just at 4:35 a.m. or is it going to be active through the whole day? So I would set up many, many recorders throughout the forest in some kind of systematic way and then just leave them recording. And the most important thing is that I myself leave so that the animals don't feel disturbed by a human encroaching into their habitat.
This is a lot of data. Is this something we could have done 20 years ago?
We could have certainly been recording, and many people were recording a lot of sounds in the rainforest, but most often they would just have to be there with these huge recording machines, maybe taking up a whole, size of a fridge of apparatus. Nowadays, we can just take a small box, maybe the size of a small juice carton, and leave it out in the forest on its own. So the great development is we now have really good batteries. We can leave the recorders out even for, let's say, 6 months. And we have also great ways to store large amounts of data on these tiny memory cards, like exactly the same as in your camera, for example. So those are the technological developments that have allowed us to really start digging into these piles and piles, gigabytes and terabytes of data.
So you've got all this data, you've got multiple recorders, maybe over this 24-hour period. Then what? What do you do with it?
Then I try to not get overwhelmed by the huge amount of data. I first of all do some listening, just to kind of check, did everything work out right? Am I hearing any animals, or did some animal maybe eat the microphone and it's not going to be a good recording? And once I'm sure that the quality is right, I start processing all these terabytes of data by using different computer algorithms. And those algorithms can help us get kind of a broad picture, looking at what time of the day are the animals most active? What time are they really waking up? Like, you know, when you, for example, are camping in the summer, you get really woken up, even here in Wisconsin, at 4 or 5 a.m. And that might be the same in a rainforest, but this time might differ. So getting a broad picture first is what we do.
Do you have to go through, or your colleagues have to go through and listen and say, oh, that's that animal, that's insect, or are we at a point with the computers where they can say, oh, that's the, I mean, they don't say it, but they can mark the waveform of a particular species?
This is one of the big dreams, that one day we will just be able to feed a whole 24-hour recording to a computer and the computer will spit out all these species names and maybe even something more about the species, like were they stressed out or were they a big family of gibbons or just one lonely one. Right now, this is possible for particular species, species that people have been interested in, and they build up these algorithms to really recognize, is this, let's say, the gibbon or is it not? We don't have that for all of the species, especially in a rainforest, because oftentimes we don't even know all the species. New species are still being discovered. And I've been talking about monkeys and birds, which are relatively easy to recognize. But what about all the insects and what about all the frogs? Almost nobody can recognize by sound all the insect species. So we're still a little far away from that.
Can you learn something by comparing and contrasting, healthy forest, healthy tropical forest versus one that's been impaired by a disaster or development or what have you?
That is exactly one scenario where using the sounds or the whole soundscapes can be incredibly useful. Because often we can look at a forest, let's say using a satellite picture, satellite image taken from the space, and we could see, okay, is the forest still there or is it gone? Did somebody cut it down? Did the forest burn down? But we don't really see from those satellite images whether the forest is healthy. Does it have healthy animals? Does it have all the species it's supposed to have? And that's exactly where we can use bioacoustics almost as a stethoscope, like a doctor would use. We can try to listen to the vital signs of the forest and realize, is the forest maybe recovering after human presence or human exploitation, or is it getting even worse?
Another thought, we have invasive species here in Wisconsin, and I think you touched on this earlier. Is this something that could help detect something that is not where it's supposed to be, something that could be destructive in a forest setting?
Definitely, invasive species could be detected by bioacoustics if they vocalize. Unfortunately, a lot of the invasive species that we have problems with here in Wisconsin are plants, and plants obviously don't vocalize, or for example, some kinds of ants. And those can be harder to track down with bioacoustics. But if we were talking about an invasive species of frog, which does happen, especially in some tropical regions, bioacoustics might be a good way to detect them.
You've done this research so far in, I think, Borneo, Papua New Guinea, and Gabon. Why start there? Why those areas in particular?
Those areas, Gabon, Papua New Guinea, and Borneo, are, for me, absolutely fascinating. I just, every time I even think about them, I get so excited. There's so many different species of animals, plants, even just the whole ecosystem is very, very biodiverse. And at the same time, they're under incredible threat of deforestation, of hunting, of all the different things that we humans do to the forest. Climate change is also going to be impacting how animals in these forests do. So that's why these three regions have been the focus of my work, because they kind of are the absolutely most diverse and the most threatened at the same time.
What kind of questions in these areas you work in are you hoping in the future that bioacoustics really helps you and your colleagues tackle?
One question that I would love to be able to answer is, how does taking the timber out of these forests, kind of in a selective way, you just take one tree here and there and make a nice piece of furniture out of it, how does that impact all the different animal species? And can we hear that in the soundscapes? Because I think if we can measure really, really precisely how animals are being impacted by logging, we can then adapt the logging practices to make it better for biodiversity. And at the same time, we could bring to people who are buying that piece of furniture, we can show them where exactly that piece of wood has come from. We can play them the sounds. And that way, people might also become more aware of what it is that they're actually buying.
And as we wrap up, you went into this field of forest and wildlife ecology. Did you imagine when you first started that it would be a high-tech computer audio experiment too?
I did not imagine that I would be working with audio, but I definitely knew that it's important to always explore new technologies. So I started off by using drones, actually.
Really?
Trying to take aerial video and images. And that's because I was always aware that the current ways we have of measuring biodiversity are not necessarily good enough for the types of massive and urgent conservation questions we're facing. We really need to throw everything we have to solve the conservation crisis.
Susanna, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Susanna Budovalova is an assistant professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison and the director of the Sound Forest Lab. She talked with us about her work with bioacoustics, measuring the diversity of animal life in rainforests around the world with sound recordings.